Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We are live, my friends. Thank you for joining us. It is the 19th day of March, 2012. We're going to be live here for the next 3 hours. Famous civil rights activist Dick Gregory will be joining us here on the broadcast today, coming up in the third hour to discuss the warmongering of the left as well as the controlled right and a lot more. He'll be joining us coming up in the third hour today. Obviously, the Drudge Report had the big headline yesterday, martial law. And then it went into this new Obama executive order, and it's caused quite a stir. So I thought today I would break down and explain to people the fact that we're already under a quasi-martial law and that it's being expanded and basically phased in right now. Remember, I'm the guy, probably better known than anybody else in the United States, for talking about a program, a long-term plan to slowly get rid of due process and incrementally establish martial law in this country. They're not going to call it martial law. They're going to call it security. They're going to call it continuity of government. Now, he quietly signed this last Friday, just like he signed the NDAA on New Year's Eve. And they tried to deny that it affected citizens and would allow us to be disappeared into the night. But now they admit that. Why are they now implementing? Because Obama pointed out, hey, I'm just reauthorizing a 1950s plan for when we were under nuclear attack to have the entire country nationalized. Now, remember, the federal government itself is run by a small handful of megabanks that are anti-free market. And so when you're talking about nationalization, it's bad enough to have it be the federal government. But this is the very same foreign banks that have nationalized Europe. In fact, it's now admitted that the euro is just a receivership arm to nationalize Europe, raise taxes, and pay it to private banks, not on debts the people owe. The lion's share of it's not debts that they owe from their pensions or, you know, unfunded mandates. The lion's share. This is what the right wing won't tell you and the left wing won't tell you because they're all bought and paid for or they're ignorant. It's signing on to the debt of the megabanks, the too big to fail. And so this is a planned trajectory, a planned targeting. And we're following right along online. It will lead to secret arrest. It will lead to censorship of free speech, not just being arrested for videotaping police or having her website shut down, but actually being arrested and disappeared. It will lead to that because that's what the system is training for. That's their promised land. That's where the globalists want this to lead. That's where it will go if we don't stop them. Some people say, well, that's scary, Alex. What you have said is coming true. This voice in the wilderness, I better shut up. No, 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 no. That's how they win. So many of you say, well, I'll just go along with it. I'll be all right. The UN, the globalists, Maurice Strong, all of them admit that they want to lower our standard of living in the first phase by 50%. They've already greatly lowered our standard of living in the last 30 years. They want another 50% on that, and then they accelerate it even more. And this is about indiscriminate arrest, indiscriminate terror, prisons everywhere. We're already the biggest prison economy in the world. I drove out to the Austin Rodeo yesterday and drove by two or three jails, giant prisons, just driving outside Austin. This is where it's all going. A predatory economy by design. We come back, we'll get into that. Also, fraud against the Ron Paul campaign, huge geopolitical events. A new video has surfaced of the attorney general, when he was deputy attorney general, telling a group of victim disarmament people that we need to, quote, brainwash America's children to be anti-gun.
He's the T-Rex of political talk.
Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome, my friends. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Very important transmission lined up for you here today. I hope that everybody takes notes. I hope and pray that you call your friends and family across the United States and the world and ask them to tune in today, because the martial law system being incrementally rolled out and beta tested here in the United States is also being standardized and expanded in other nations of this globe. This is rule by private, anti-free market, crony capitalist monopoly men. And their own IMF and World Bank documents have been public now for a decade of how they plan to implode Europe using derivatives and signing countries onto their own debts, and how they plan to then do that here in the United States, then in the wealthier areas of Asia. They've already done it in Latin America. They've already done it in Africa. They've already done it in Eastern Europe. They've already engaged in it in poorer areas of Asia. They've already had the oligarchs suck places like Russia dry repeatedly. The globalist, the big money men, want to work with authoritarian systems, as Professor Carol Quigley, the head of Georgetown Political Science, Bill Clinton's mentor, wrote in his book, Tragedy and Hope, that was only meant to be 1,000 copies given to high-level State Department and CIA people so that they could understand, well, wait, we fund fascists, but we fund communists, and we fund socialists. They couldn't even understand it. And so Quigley wrote the book. It wasn't meant the plates to be leaked out, which they were, and copies made. Doesn't matter. Most people don't read 900-plus page, or it's almost 1,000 with a bibliography, documents. And in it, he explains, the system is command and control. It will fund anything authoritarian. It wants to destroy free market and destroy individual freedom and destroy any type of self-sufficiency. And then he went on to endorse that. The globalists sit above our nations, playing us off against each other. Now, I have an incredibly important broadcast, obviously, lined up for you today. It's finally getting attention. People are finally paying attention. There have been steps towards the road of martial law. Because this isn't like one day there's a military coup and there's troops on the streets. It's just incrementally more and more troops, more and more militarized police, people being arrested nationwide for filming police, more and more cameras, the government admitting, hey, we are surveilling you without warrants. Head of the CIA last week gave a speech. Wired Magazine, Washington Post all covered it, reporting on it like it was kind of cool. Hey, here's his quotes. All the new appliances, all the new cell phones, washers and dryers, clock radios are having tech built in for very inexpensive that has bugs listening to you. The power lines are actual data cables hooked in. Even if you don't even have internet, we're listening to you. People are like, wow, this is what Alex Jones said for a decade, because it was all in the public documents. But why are they now admitting it? But remember, I'm still kooky and bad. I was on Fox News and said I would never do a show there and turn them down most of the time. But Mancow's a friend of mine, and he wanted me to tape a show that's going to air later on Fox. We'll see. Was going to air that day, and they announced, we're going to air it in a week now since Alex Jones is on. But that was interesting. I could care less if I'm on there or not. I just went on Fox News and screamed at him. When his guest said, oh, you're a kook, our appliances aren't tracking and watching us, you're a nut, I said, shut up, idiot. It's in hundreds of publications. He gave a speech. I'm sick of you using that throwaway line. Open tyranny's upon us. And I said, shut up. People are like, oh my gosh, that makes you look like you're angry. It's time to get people out of their box. Like Howard Beale says in Network, first you've got to get mad. I've got the transcript. There's even short video clips of it they've put out. I don't know if NQTEL, the public CIA investment firm, if they're going to publish all of the video. But, I mean, it's there. It's Wired Magazine, you name it. Wired Magazine headline, CIA director, your dishwasher is spying on you. And I go on and I say, hey, everything is being engineered with spy grids in it. And the government admits they're watching them and listening without warrants. And they start laughing at me. And then I went on to say, 6 years ago, Google put out a press release to its shareholders saying, we're now watching people over the cameras built into their laptops. And they started laughing at that. I mean, that's an article 6 years ago, prisonplanet.com, with a link to google.com in the shareholder section with a press release. And here's the CIA director saying it, and it was in hundreds of news articles. Daily Mail, Associated Press, Reuters. There it is. Wired Magazine, CIA chief will spy on you through your dishwasher. And then it's got the quotes, how everything. I mean, for a dollar or less, they can have a wireless system that the smart meter dials into and listens to you with an audio bug. I remember a Time Warner installer one day was in my house, and he said, hey, Alex, I'm a listener, and I heard you talk about in Australia they found cameras and microphones in the cable boxes. That did happen like 12 years ago. He goes, let me show you the manual for this, the Scientific Atlantic cable box. He said, you see that little mark? That's a microphone. And back then there was no voice control of it. He goes, look inside. You see this whole tech area? That's a remote audio sensor. And they've got systems back at Time Warner that track everything you watch and put it into a psychological algorithm. And I'm like, you're a cable installer? And he goes, well, I'm actually a engineer. You know, for every 20 or so of the installers, you know, they have an engineer in case there's problems. But just thought I'd tell you that. He said, yeah, you can borrow the manual. And I went on air and showed the manual and got death threats. This is 10 years ago. And people were calling in going, you are a complete lunatic. There's no microphone in my cable box. When there was a little hole and the microphone was inside. So I went on air and opened the cable box up on air. And people still didn't believe it. Had to basically break it to get into it because it's got a special tool and I didn't have it. But again, this is my frustration, is that I read the RAND Corporation talk about how they would just acclimate everybody to a security state, martial law, incrementally, until we were in deep martial law. And I saw the preparations and I went to urban warfare drills and I had police chiefs warn me, like police chief of San Antonio, in a sit-down video interview. Because he was a patriot and former army and had been in intelligence and knew this was what they'd been trained to do to third world countries overthrowing them. He was approached by the army. Then I talked to Thomas Sanchez, head of emergency management, himself a Vietnam veteran. Just so happened to have been in intelligence. And he's like, this is what we did infiltrating in Vietnam. I'm not, well, this is illegal. They've got Marines, army in every town. The government ships the narcotics in. It's all on record. All the police chiefs know this of any size. It's all a big joke, folks. Okay? The Attorney General. Man, I saw this yesterday afternoon. One of our listeners had found it on going into the C-SPAN has put all of its videos back 25 years. By the way, Lamb, the head of it, stepping down online. You can search it by keywords. So people are digging through it right now. CNN did that a few years ago, and we were able to go find the stuff I'd seen and heard where the cops are like, get back, they're blowing 7 up. Point is, they blew 7 up on 9-11 Building 7. All these old archives are getting posted now, and you can search them now with keyword, and there is the Attorney General on C-SPAN in 1995. He was then Deputy Attorney General, and there he is saying, I've talked to all the media heads, we're going to get ads out there to teach you that you don't need to have guns. Well, now they've gone further. You draw a gun, you get arrested. There is no law, but they got juries that'll convict. Well, plus it's family court. There is no jury in most cases. So they just, you go to jail for a thought crime. And he says, we're going to brainwash people. I mean, I remember Sarah Brady got caught on the floor of the House. By the way, this was, she was asked about this in the big Union magazine, and that's where the quotes came out. It's been confirmed. She admitted she said it, but somebody ought to search that 1993. Clinton had just got in office, and the mic was on, and she was up there at the by the dais during a vote, and she said, well, we'll get our socialist America as soon as we've disarmed these people. Somebody's got to go actually search that now. I bet you can find that in the C-SPAN archive. It's all been uploaded, just mega terabytes. We only had the text before. I bet we can get that. But I'll play the brainwash clip when we come back in a moment, and I'll get into all the martial law news. But we can pull the Ted Turner C-SPAN from 1996, where he said he, you know, kill 90% of the useless eaters. Wow, what a, you've got the power. There's millions of listeners. Start digging through their system. Aaron's always finding nightmare jewels of globalist meetings. Back when I guess they thought C-SPAN was their own private channel, nobody was watching but them. Of course, the UN openly states July 7th, 2000, in New York, that was on C-SPAN, that they want total abolition of private ownership of guns. It's always been their plan. And now if Obama gets reelected, of course, Mitt Romney would probably be just as bad or whoever, that they're going to buy executive fiat, go after the guns. And that's what he's announced basically in these executive orders. So we're going to come back and give you that information straight ahead. But criminals are in control of this government. And people that work for the system have really got to have a gut check now. Because never before has it been more obvious. Never before has it been more out in the open that we're dealing with real, bona fide, good old-fashioned, hardcore tyranny here. Better choose a side.
They railed against the crown, another ragtag band, declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody war
for liberty,
and liberty for their descendants.
Liberty for their descendants.
Thanks to the renegades.
Thanks to the renegades.
We're free today.
We're free today.
Thanks to the renegades.
It is gut check time.
We're free today. Thank God for the renegades.
And I don't know what else I can do to get people out there in the United States and across the world to realize how much danger we're all in. You know, as time passes, listeners apologize to me in droves, and they say, man, Alex, I would hear you 10 years ago on the local AM station or on the internet, and I would agree with a lot of what you had to say, but I really thought you were exaggerating. But they then apologize and say, why is everything you said actually coming true? How did you know all this? And in that is my great frustration. It's all public. I've got, what, three different newscasts with firemen and police and others saying, get back, they're going to blow up Building 7 on 9/11. I mean, I heard CBS radio back when they were still doing news on the day of 9/11 say they're preparing to control demolition the Solomon Brothers building. And then I went on air back to the radio show because I was on at night then too, not just the day. And I said, yeah, anybody else hear them on the news say they blew it up? And all these callers called in and said, yeah, I saw it on CNN. Years later, I met with police officers in New York who said, I was there. Amy Goodman was there back when she had a local TV show. Now she has national. And there was a countdown and they said, get out of there. So we ran. And then years after that, CNN data dumped both their channels' material from that day. So did BBC. And there was all the footage of it. Everything we'd remembered, everything we'd seen. And people are like, you despicable traitor. You think the government did 9/11. All I know is, buddy, they blew up Building 7 and it needs to be investigated. All I know is they've taken that and used it to take my liberties away. All I know is when good law enforcement sent me internal documents, none of it has to do with Ahmed Dinajid. None of it has to do with Ahmed in Afghanistan. All of it has to do with gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, farm owners, machine shop owners. I saw an article today. In fact, I think I IM'd it to you guys. If I didn't, I sent it to Watson and Kurt. But one of the biggest survivalist blogs, it now admits the FBI for months, they've now discovered, was redirecting their traffic through their own systems just to get a database of everyone who was concerned about survival. Totally illegal. Since then, no warrants. Since last year when we were wrong, we were told, oh, FEMA's not going around door to door at canneries asking about where storable food going. Since then, it's been admitted that they're doing that. I mean, have people figured out yet? Have people figured out yet that this is real? Have people figured out that this is happening? If anybody ever wanted to know what the fall of the Republic would look like, this is it. In fact, guys, for the upteenth time, I know you always print it, I never read it. Will you print me the full, The Traitor is the Plague, Cicero, because I want to read that when I come back. I had so many things I wanted to say. I couldn't even sleep last night over this. I love to sleep. When I go to sleep, I sleep like the dead. Not anymore. I rolled around all night, waking up with a feeling of total urgency and all these points I wanted to make and all these pages of notes up at 4 a.m. That I wanted to talk about and dozens of things I emailed to the producers to print off today so I could cover it. The urgency, it's all coming to a head. You see, Americans expect martial law to be on a Richter scale of 1 to 10, a 10. Or on a scale of 1 to 100, a 100. What's martial law? Well, on the 100 scale, it's the feds surrounding the Branch Davidian Church, burning it down, killing the little kids, shooting people when they run out the building. Totally criminal, bloodthirsty. The feds so angry that when they opened fire on the Davidians, the Davidians fought back. And when the feds put their hands up, let them go. So bloodlusting and wanting to be so manly in a blood frenzy that they blew up little kids inside. That's 100. Hitler lining folks up and shooting them, women in pits. That's 100. Stalin killing Ukrainians. That's 100. The West putting Al-Qaeda in Libya for mass slaughter. That's 100 on the scale. The United States is on about a 70 right now. You understand? We're under martial law right now, and I'll document it on the other side. Stay with us. There's a couple questions everybody should be asking themselves. Number one, do you like the fruits of the New World Order? Society falling apart, the United States leading the world in every bad statistic from obesity to cancer to lowered IQs, not just test scores. You know what it means when IQs drop across the board, right? That's chemical. That's being done to you. That's not just laziness. You might want to ask yourselves, do you like the way things are going? Because if you don't like the way things are going, you don't like the New World Order. Because this is what comes out of the other end of the New World Order. Pain, suffering, poverty, wars, humiliation, injustice, bondage. Those are the fruits of the New World Order. Now, continuing here, because I want to ask people out there, because a lot of you have been listening for a long time, and I want to ask you a question. Do you think I'm exaggerating now? Do you think I'm fear-mongering now? Because let me tell you something, I was a mainline libertarian Ron Paul type until I went to urban warfare drills and witnessed the military training to go house to house in America in the drills and take our guns. and talked to the troops and had them admit it, and then had troops' bosses, their commanders, and their civilian counterparts run over and threaten me and try to get my videotape. And my cameramen had Marines with guns point them at them in America, in places like Hebron, Maryland, and had the Army point guns at us in San Antonio because we'd gotten the police chief to speak out. We were exposing their secret operations, and we had an MP come right over and just stick that Beretta right up to Mike Hansen because they said, give me your camera, give me your tape. Mike said no, and the guy just pulled it out, chambered around, and said, I told you, give it to me right now. Now, that's what America is. They're ready to gun you and your family down so fast it'll make your head spin. That was 14 years ago that they wouldn't let them do the drills off base to terrorize the public, so they did it on Fort Sam Houston, an open medical facility. Blew up part of a derelict building they were remodeling. We were there the next day to show it. And I, as an American citizen, the military instantly went into the role when the Delta Force handlers ordered those MPs to come after us. And the minute Mike said, I have a right, you're not going to take my camera. I want to talk to your commanding officer. And the message was, you're just like one of those Hajis. I'm ready to kill you so fast, it'll make your head spin. I like killing people. And you know what? The New World Order likes killing our country, too. They like killing the Bill of Rights. They like killing the Constitution. You think you like to kill, soldier? You think you like the power of death? Those little nerdly New World Order bureaucrats, they like brainwashing people. They like poisoning the water and the vaccines and backdooring the GMO crops. You think they just backdoor all the appliances with bugs that the CIA director, General Petraeus, just told everybody about last week in a public speech? Oh, they backdoor the food. You think you've been given all this power to kill for no reason, huh? And I guess there's a high to killing. You know, in Afghanistan, I remember many years ago, What was his name? We're just going to stay on this camera right here. I'm just going to look at people right here and forget these cameras are here. Because what happens is, I've got these cameras in here. And I'm always paying attention to them. And it messes up my thinking process. So I'm just going to forget these cameras are here today. I realize that's one of the reasons that I can't focus into all my information. Let's just stay on this camera today, right here. One camera. If you're a radio listener going, what camera? You're listening on XM166. You're listening on AM/FM. We stream video at prisonplanet.tv. And there's a box up at Infowars.com where we do it as well. See, the globalists know how to do all this incrementally to where most people can't resist it if they're unconscious. They just become acclimated to it. But I'm just sad for this country. Because Afghanistan, Iraq, and all of that, seizing the oil and circling those countries, that was a secondary mission. The primary mission was to create large groups of soldiers who've served up to 8 tours, who can then be brought back here and be turned into paramilitary police to carry out those exact type of martial law operations. That's what Afghanistan and Iraq are on record. The checkpoints, the frisking, the house-to-house gun confiscations. The government admits that that's a laboratory for here in the United States. And I remember Private Gruckheimer was in the Ithaca newspaper in 2003, and he came back and talked about how much he loved his job and how they'd go into villages and kill everyone, including the children. And the Army, the day later, had a clarification on Fox News. And they said, the Pentagon wants to clarify, only certain villages that have hostiles do we send in ground troops after cluster bombing them and kill everybody, including children? And so he just did something. You know, this guy that reportedly killed the 16 people, most of them little kids, toddlers, then burned them up, stabbed them. There was a lot of enjoyment going on here. And he told him, you know, my foot's partially blown off. I don't want to be sent back. Was it his fifth time, fourth time? This was his fifth deployment. They say he was Mr. Goody Two-Shoes growing up, Mr. Good Guy. But you look what Mr. Good Guy turned into. Now they're making him a victim, and some of the talk radio shows are saying, oh, come on, it's just Hodges. And when these guys come home and kill their families and kill little kids and stuff, they're the minority that can't handle it. Why, they're just going to take our guns because of it. The general public's. So we can't protect ourselves from the other troops that have gone haywire that are the police. You know, the ones where they go on a bus and tell a woman, stand up. And she says, what's your problem? So the cop full power punches her and basically breaks her jaw. And then the media defends it and says, oh, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, well, the banks are going to abuse everybody, too. See, it's like a green light for the psychopaths in the government and the armies they've created to have their way with us. But then the vast majority of the military men and women who haven't gone insane because of their relationship with God or family, whatever the case is, their mental toughness, you're the enemy. That in all the government documents, you're the enemy. You're the enemy. And they're going to send all the other troops that will do whatever they're told and just want to kill some people, they're going to send them after you. And this has all been a big laboratory to produce these forces to do that. And I'm going to get into a big report on martial law and all the rest of it here today. And I'm going to play a clip of the Attorney General talking about brainwashing the public through television. The full clip's up on Infowars.com. We'll play about a minute of it here. And then later, if we have time, play the whole clip for the radio audience. And then in the second hour, I want to open the phones up for police and military. Again, we do this every few weeks. Active duty, because if I say veterans, the veterans who are great folks will fill the phones. And then we can't get any active duty calling in. But the first round of calls, current police, serving police, you know, all of its military parlance. We're the civilians. They're the military government. That's the essence of the definition of martial law. And so we'll be opening the phones up for everybody. But I did hours of research yesterday and hours this morning. And I want to give you a little presentation here on what martial law is, how it operates, and how we're being incrementally brought into it. But then the bigger question, why? What does the system plan to do once the sun is set, once the doors are shut, once we're tied down? See, criminals always, when they come into a bank and get your hands up, anybody moves, I'm going to blow your head off. They want to scare you. That's what the government does. They're using less lethal weapons. That's the real name for them. And then upping the power of the taser, upping the power of the microwave, upping the power of the sound cannon until it starts killing people. Rubber bullets every few months start killing people in America. And then it's more power rubber bullets. And then not just one out of 50 times, but one out of 10 you die. Then one out of 3 you die. Till everybody's just trained that you die when you protest. You get arrested when you videotape police. You disappear. You lose your radio license when you criticize the government. You get your website shut down. You get your credit card turned off. You get your PayPal turned off. You better do what you're told. And so everybody does what they're told, and the sun fully sets. And then what do they plan once that happens? This particular elite doesn't just want to rob stuff. If you have a tyranny like that, it's bad. The economy breaks down because nobody wants to produce anymore because somebody's just going to steal it from you. You kind of fall apart into a third world type scenario. We're not going to be like Venezuela or Nigeria. We're not going to be that lucky. We're a 21st century system. Bigger and better. The center of the New World Order eugenics empire. We're going to be killed. We're going to be tortured. We're going to be secretly arrested. Because that's the new economy. That's the new scholarships. That's the new way. You think the U.S. leading the world in prisons? That's just the start. And there's going to be forced inoculations, and all homeschooling is going to be banned, and everyone's going to have their local rural affairs minder in your town. This has all been announced. That's going to come on your property and boss you around and give you fines and fees. And if you get smart with them, a SWAT team's going to pull up in an armored vehicle with a bunch of killers who served five or six tours in combat zones, and they're going to kill you and your family. And they want you to get into a fight with them. That's what they're planning. And then there's going to be a civil war. And the bankers are going to sit back in Europe and they're going to laugh at it. That's what they plan on happening. I don't know. Could Americans wake up and say no? Hey, we've had enough of world government, enough of global corporate fascist rule, enough of all this tyranny, enough of it. I don't know. That's a question, but the people steering us have a destination on record that is absolute despotism. Absolute deception. Remember Fast and Furious, shipping guns into Mexico to blame the Second Amendment. All caught, thousands dead, nobody gets in trouble. Billboards up across the country for 20 years. That say, report illegal guns. And it's an image of a shotgun or a revolver. And then when the carpet cleaner is in your house and sees a gun case, they call the cops on you. And the cops go ahead and come and go ahead and arrest you, even though there's no law. That happens all over the United States. I see it in the newspaper every week. I see it in the news where a realtor comes to your house and sees reloading equipment and a can of black powder. You're going to jail. It's on the news. Mr. Jones, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Smith was arrested for an arsenal. You go look at the state law. What is an arsenal? There's no such thing. And they've got juries so kept and so dumb, a lot of times you go to jail. You're like, but that's not, there's not even a law. That's right. There's no law they can take your kids for not taking vaccines, but they do. See, we're already under martial law, and I haven't even gotten to this presentation yet, and then I'm going to give the number out. But I'm begging you to realize we're dealing with pure deception and manipulation. And I'm begging the military and the police and others to not be cowardly. Everyone I know now goes, you're right, it's tyranny, it's all coming true. Oh, great. That it doesn't make me happy. I don't want to be right. Do you realize how dangerous it is to be Alex Jones and to be right and to have all this credibility? You think the system likes the fact that I've made a study of everything they do and that I can guess 10 steps ahead what they're going to do? You think they're happy about that? You think they're happy about the fact that I have millions of listeners? They're trying to kick everybody else off the radio right now, and they're trying with us. The only chance we've got to beat these people is to stand up against them. Now, here is the Attorney General, when he was Deputy Attorney General, on C-SPAN in 1995. We're going to go out to break with this, saying, we need to brainwash the public. And he goes on that he's met with all the executives of the media. And he's asking them to really push anti-gun messages. That's why it's in all the sitcoms, the dramas, the cop shows. It's brainwashing. And here he is saying it. Brainwashing. Go ahead.
space so that we can get these ads, so we can use these spots, and not to give us 1, 2 o'clock in the morning ads when nobody's watching, but at the time when people, particularly young people, are watching television, so that when they're watching, you know, the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or Martin or whatever else they watch, and yeah, I watch those things once in a while, so that they'll see these ads and they'll be grabbed by these ads. I've also asked people who have influence over youngsters, entertainers, athletes, to be involved in this program as well. But not only them, community leaders, Jesse Jackson, Mayor Barry, people who have credibility with young people should be on the television, on the radio, as much as we possibly can, and telling these youngsters that it's wrong to carry a gun, and that if you have information about people who are carrying guns, you've got to share that with Chief Thomas and with his people as well. I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with...
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.
All right, we're going to play the rest of the clip where he says brainwashing. And earlier in the 3-minute snippet, he's talking about, I've met with the advertising executives, the TV people. We've got to get these messages out there. We've got to literally brainwash. And that's what all this is, this idea that because there's crime, you've got to turn your guns in. This is a guy quoted supporting the complete abolition of the individual ownership of guns. Now, you notice on the subject of the Second Amendment, we're turning the tide. Al Gore was here in town last week for South by Southwest and was quoted as saying he's losing the war for the environment. No, the globalists are the ones actually hurting the environment while creating straw man arguments about carbon dioxide just because they want to tax all human activity. You see, they are beginning to lose. That's why they're taking the gloves off and going, well, we'll just take over via martial law. Now, here's Eric Holder, a guy whose memos have been declassified, talking about covering up what really happened in Oklahoma City. And I've talked to the eyewitnesses who saw the feds in there planting the bombs. But notice he's talking to the Justice Department people like a little kid. Oh, I like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's like Obama. He's out on St. Patty's Day with a beer at the pub. He's a nice guy, a nice tyrant. And again, these tyrants come and go, but the bureaucracy and the criminal interest, their power expands. And the NRA is on record saying they've got sources in the Justice Department, and Obama's told Sarah Brady they're going to get the guns by stealth, that in the second term, he is planning to use executive order to restrict the Second Amendment. And guess what? The ATF already did that last year. We're in 5 southwestern states told him, you're going to now implement new gun regulations outside of law. Remember that? And had the nerve to blame it on something that they'd themselves caused, the shipping the guns into Mexico. Now, here's Paul Watson's article. Obama executive order paves way for nationalization of the economy. And Paul goes through it all. It's a Paul Watson, Alex Jones article. We're going to read this. I'm going to go over what martial law is. We get into the next hour. Then I'm going to open the phones up for police and military to specifically call in. Let's go ahead and go back to the Attorney General with his brainwashing quote. Here it is.
I've also asked the school board to make a part of every day some kind of anti-violence, anti-gun message. Every day, every school, at every level. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way. We also want to have a hotline that we will set up and have the number of that hotline that would just go out there, and that would be something that people would have emblazoned in their minds so that when they see a gun or become familiar about the facts of a gun crime, they would call that hotline and pass that information.
All right, thank you. Back it back up to the brainwashing part, please. Thank you. Now, notice he said, make part of the school day anti-gun. And that's when you put your kids in a government training center, public schools, whether they're rural, no matter where you live, whether it's Alabama or Texas, where you think it's pro-gun, or Vermont, it's anti-gun. What does mommy and daddy own? the feds are out of control, taking over everything. Notice he said the hotline. There are people, telephone repair people, cable people, making more money per year in tattletale money than they do on their regular job while they're in your house. And the cops still come because they're told, even if the gun's legal, let's go check it out. And then you get a knock and talk. Hi, we hear there's some firearms. Mind if we look at them? I mean, they do this in rural areas now. And they're just getting the cops ready to be scum, secret police, enemies of this country. You better decide which side you're on. The Attorney General is a criminal terrorist.
This is GCN, the Genesis Communications Radio Network.
I had tried everything. I'd cut back the amount of food I was eating. I was lifting weights and jogging, but nothing was working. My body was literally starving for minerals and trace elements as well as key vitamins. And as soon as I had that, I immediately could eat half of what I was eating previously and be satisfied. Now, there are hundreds of great products at InfoWarsTeam.com, but I want to point out the three that have helped me lose 37 pounds in just 2 months. Products like Beyond Tangy Tangerine, Pollen Burst, and Rebound. When I started taking the Tangy Tangerine and other products every day, I lost more than 37 pounds in just 2 months. Now that's results. I want to challenge my listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com and to order just three of their products, and you will see the changes in the way you look, feel, and in your appetite almost immediately. Start your journey to health and wellness today. InfoWarsTeam.com.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The essence of what's happening is just good old-fashioned takeover. Powerful interests want the United States as an engine of world domination, and they want the American people's property, and all over the country under Agenda 21, they're taking people's property. That is the essence of martial law, is a suspension of due process, private property, right to assemble. All of it's happening like clockwork. Habeas corpus. When we come back, I'm going to attempt in just one segment to give you a report on martial law because it's getting so much attention. If you just joined us, Obama signed a new executive order. Most legal scholars, there's hundreds of articles today, are concurring. Well, yeah, this is basically ruled by the executive branch. And in there is designated the Secretary of Defense over the whole thing. Congress is not involved. That is the essence of martial law as well. I mean, they have hit every point. If there was, say, a list of 20 things to give you martial law, they've double-checked each one of them. I mean, they have really done their work with the executive order, National Defense Resources Preparedness. And it ties all the other executive orders together. The seizure of infrastructure, work brigades. And you notice they announced this week, they announced the new FEMA. The new FEMA brigades. In fact, guys, I am that to you. I don't, or maybe I didn't, but I didn't see that in my stack where FEMA announces the new FEMA Corps. And I actually want to show it to people directly from FEMA.gov because folks won't even believe that. How long did we warn people about that? The clergy response teams, all of it. Wow. It is all coming down. Just FEMA announces new FEMA Corps. It's got Mr. Napolitano up there and all the rest of them. It's not even really like exhausting, even though I am very tired. See, I get all wound up about this all weekend, and then I get on air on Monday. It's not that I'm even exhausted. It's more just, it's beyond even being sad. It's just Does anybody know what we're in for here? You know how bad this is? How sad this is? This is how America's dying. This is how the Republic is being destroyed. And it is very, very sad. Yeah, it's FEMA announces new FEMA Corps. I'll show you. Watch this. I'll do it on screen right here. We can even show people watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. FEMA. FEMA Corps. And the Washington Post has got an article on it, but the one I wanted, here it is. Oh, there's the new FEMA Corps person. He's got the young lady right there over on the right-hand side. I'll just print that. There's one that's got big sis is the one I really want. I am'd it yesterday. Homeland Security Today. We'll look at this one. White House launches FEMA Corps program for disaster preparedness. Of course, people are like, well, that's just disaster preparedness. It turns out I know about the AmeriCorps subsect, Secure Corps, and it's for warrant service, fugitive apprehension, and domestic spy force. I want to find that one that's got the one I had this weekend I sent to everybody. Actually showed Big Sis with everybody. I'll just keep looking, even about to do that in the next segment. Anyways, I'm going to have all that in my stack when we come back, and we'll go over it. Yeah, here's one. This is it. I found it by searching photos. There it is. I found it. Here you go. I found it. Now it's the creation of the FEMA Corps. Homeland Security. Website. Be right back.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
I'm about to cover the fact that martial law is being incrementally established permanently as the new form of government here in the United States, with what's left of county, city, and state and federal government basically keeping its name intact but operating as pure auxiliaries of the Defense Department, itself controlled by puppet presidents, 100% installed and run by six global megabanks who have openly dominated almost every nation of the world and are in the process right now of mopping up a few final countries. Now, we're not just being usurped by powerful elites that simply wish to rule and own the public. These control freaks crave power because they are eugenicist. They absolutely hate humanity. They believe that they are superhuman and that you are detestable trash who is subhuman and deserves to be basically poisoned and worked to death and then euthanized. Now, before I get into this special report on martial law that's finally getting a major nationwide attention, I want to just add that you need to understand that they're bringing in martial law and overthrowing checks and balances and due process, because you can't have a total command and control system that has due process. You can't have automated computer systems that order the police to arrest somebody. You can't have people disappear into gulags that the NDAA supposedly legalizes. Of course, you can't legalize tyranny, so it's a fraud. If you still have due process, and a lot of people say, well, I have nothing to worry about. I'm going along with the system. The system wants to use and abuse you. Just because you're a nice person doesn't mean someone won't try to break into your house and tie you up while they rape your wife and children in front of you and then slit their throats. Just because you're a nice person didn't mean the Soviets wouldn't invade Poland, the Ukraine, or Romania, or Czechoslovakia and arrest daddy and he's never seen again and rape mommy there in the kitchen in front of the little kids. You naive people who've lived in the shadow of freedom that our forebears paid for in blood have no idea the hell gates you're opening. I said it, hell gates. All of you trendies that just buy into this idea of a liberal persona, it's a persona. There's nothing liberal about Obama and Eric Holder and Janet Napolitano and any of them. These are dangerous authoritarians. But they themselves are nothing but minions of the completely cold-blooded Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan Chase that runs the whole show globally. On record now. Remember, world governments now admit it. The solution to world problems created by the mega banks is world government technocratic systems run by them. All over Europe, they're removing elected leaders, installing bankers as the heads of the country. Malaria is spreading. Cholera, you name it, in Greece. It was the jewel, now rotting in just a year. Imploded by design. Austerity is coming here. They are flicking the switches in the control room. Image that. Martial law was in place and ready to come out of mothballs. Now they're flicking the switches, turning it on, powering it up. And you know when they're getting ready to move with new wars, new false flag stage terror attacks, media censorship, false flags on the internet. You know when they're getting ready to move, when they start preconditioning the public for it. And they're doing it on all fronts right now, moving quickly. I don't want to look back later and wish that we would have done more now. Now, you in your gut, as a bureaucrat, as an enforcer of this system, whether in the military, a police officer, or a bureaucrat that commands them, or any of these systems, I know you've been given a false template of compartmentalization of why you do what you do, filled with kernels of truth. But if you look at general history, common sense, what our forebears warned us about, the track record we have with this government, and I say that loosely, you know we're in bad shape. I don't really know anybody that denies that anymore. But people say, well, what are you going to do about it? Just keep your head down. No. At times like this in history, keeping your head down is not the right move. If you're being chased by 10 wolves through the forest, you don't get your head down and get in a fetal position and cry for mommy. You get into a small cave and block the entrance, you climb a tree, or you get up on a high ground with some boulders and you stand and fight. You do not get in a fetal position and kiss your behind goodbye. I hope everybody understands that. Now, the PSYOP works like this. It's been done incrementally. If you look at the definitions of martial law that we have linked in this big article by Paul Joseph Watson that's red-linked on Infowars.com, it's also mirrored at PrisonPlanet.com, Obama executive order paves the way for nationalization of entire economy. Government greases the skids for America's Greece-style meltdown. And that's always been the public plan. Now, the National Defense Resources Preparedness takes Cold War 1950 emergency legislation that is put into place to be activated if Congress gets destroyed by a Soviet nuke strike. So Congress got tricked into letting this be on the books for a nuke strike, basically. Continuity of government. Obama changes it to say any emergency, including economic, which Bush did in his presidential decision directive and executive order in 2008 that we made a big deal out of. People are like, okay, well, Bush did it too. Now Obama's doing it. The point is that everything in those old orders is being updated and is now being implemented. That's why this is so important. It's one thing to have a plan on the shelf that's dangerous enough. It's another thing to begin to activate it. What do you think it is when the TSA is not just in airports but on highways, pulling people over without warrants, commanding local police, no jurisdiction, no, they're not even federally or state sworn, not bonded. It's totally illegal. but they say it's legal under the emergency. That's why they declare a new emergency every year in Congress. They've always got a new reason, but it's under that emergency declaration since the 1933 War Powers, the 1947 National Security Act, the 1950 National Defense Resources Preparedness, and all of these are just tweakings of systems of martial law and reauthorizations and then rearranging who's in command. John Warner Defense Authorization Act, 2007, says prepare for insurrection, not just by citizens, but by the states. Prepare a governor's council to operate and speak for all 50 appointed by the president. The public will still see 10 governors. That's in the definitions. Black's Law has about 10 pages. I was reading it last night and this morning on martial law and its different permutations. But it's governors with military power. Have you watched during a flood how it's military generals at FEMA now under Big Sis? Have you watched how during tornadoes it's generals under Homeland Security? Have you watched how the whole power structure is going to military people under NORTHCOM? It fits all the definitions. Checkpoints, curfews, suspension of the Fourth Amendment, open warrantless spying. Head of the CIA last week in a speech saying, we spy on all of you without warrants. There are piggyback systems in all new electronics, from your clock radio to your washer and dryer. Go read the quotes. I read them Friday. Have you guys put the Wired magazine back up? Thank you. For people that are watching on PrisonPlanet.tv. Why are they now admitting all this? Why are they saying, yeah, we'll secretly arrest you for any reason and disappear you? Because they've got to get the military and the contractors. A lot of them foreign government contractors are here. That's in FEMA document, NLE09 and others. In the John Warren Defense Authorization Act, it treasonously, traitorously, in the most brazen, chutzpah-fueled bravado I've ever seen, says the Pentagon will move into the states and governors and legislatures. They're saying if the legislature doesn't do what they're told, the feds will move armor in and take the capitals. That's in the John Warren Defense Authorization Act. What did they say last year when they unanimously passed in the House to ban the TSA from touching people's genitals? I mean, they don't even do that in communist China or North Korea. What did they say? They said, we'll run an air blockade with F-16s of Texas and shoot down any aircraft that enter. That's John Warner Defense Authorization Act. We are in deep trouble. Now, why is the system doing this? That's the $64 million question. When we come back from break, I'm going to address that, and then we'll give the number out and talk to police and military ahead of our next guest joining us. But I'm begging you to go just type in law dictionary, if you want the long form. Long definition martial law or definition martial law and go read it and read what the Supreme Court has said. Go read what Black's Law says. Go read and then look around you and see what's being rolled in. See, people think of martial law as Waco burning. That's 100 on the scale. You know, everybody being drug out of their homes, concentration camps. No. This martial law is just going to be property taxes, carbon taxes, taking your land, harassing farmers, taking your guns, running checkpoints. But they're phasing it in right now. We're under martial law. Now, it's very simple. To be clear about this, the United States has been criminally conquered. The Washington Post, Time Magazine, Financial Times of London, they all brag every time I pick one up about, yeah, big mega banks run things now. Yeah, we don't even need local governments anymore. The experts are running things. You won't be voting anymore in your town or city. This is happening all over the U.S. No, a corporation's going to run your town now. In some cases, big cities. And guess what? We're tripling your power and water prices. Oh, it's so we make bigger profits. Don't like it, move somewhere else, but we're taking over there too. And this is so you can't get due process. This is so they can exempt themselves from lawsuits. This is so the criminals that have hijacked our nation can have their way with us. And who's at the top of the pyramid? Goldman Sachs. One of their top executives went public last week saying, we're there to cheat our customers and we call them scum and Muppets and idiots. And I can't do it anymore. That's the attitude. Let's rip people off. They're just total criminals. Again, who ship guns into Mexico to blame the Second Amendment. And remember what the Attorney General just got caught saying from a tape back in 95. Let's brainwash the public to be anti-gun. And when you see a gun, call the police. And that's why when the telephone guy's in your house, he calls the cops on you, even though the gun's legal. This is what they've turned us into, a nation of snitches reporting to a bunch of criminals. They want the martial law in because the normal law and the system of due process and the Constitution is like holy water to a vampire. It's what will send them to prison. So they want to get rid of it so they can steal at an even greater level, arrest their political opposition, and can't get in trouble. It's elementary. Every tyranny ends up falling, though, because the elites and their minions just start stealing at every level, and the elite will never go after their own minions because, you know, that would be, you know, bad for morale, and so everybody just starts stealing, and then everything falls apart. And I was reading the Black's Law definition of martial law. Typically, the imposition of martial law accompanies curfews. Those are going in everywhere. The suspension of civil law, civil rights, everywhere it's happening. No protest. Arrest you for filming police. Habeas corpus, they're getting rid of that. NDAA. And the application or extension of military law or military justice to civilians. The police act like military now. Civilians defying martial law may be subjected to military tribunal. You don't even get a military tribunal under NDAA. They just kill you. It's beyond even martial law. It's just total mafia, serial killer government. I mean, folks, they grow the opium in front of everyone on the news now. Because the troops are going, I won't do this. I'm going to tell people, oh, really? Watch this. They put the troops grow the opium. Move along. I want to read you this Cicero quote. Then we're going to come back and take calls from police and military only, please. A nation can survive its fools and even the ambitious, but it cannot survive treason from within. An enemy at the gates is less formidable, for he is known and carries his banner openly. But the traitor moves amongst those within the gates freely. His sly whispers, rustling through all the alleys, heard in the very halls of the government itself. For the traitor appears not a traitor. He speaks in the accents familiar to his victims, and he wears their face and their arguments. He appears to the baseness that lies deep in the hearts of all men. He rots the soul of the nation, by design, I would add. He works secretly and unknown in the night under national security to undermine the pillars of the city. He infects the body politic so that it can no longer resist. A murderer is less to fear. The traitor is the plague. Marcus Tullius Cicero, ancient Roman lawyer, writer, scholar, orator, and member of the Senate. Statesman, 106 BC to 43 BC. Resisted Caesar, was killed by one that came after Caesar. Let it be known that this was to come to pass as this nation went into bondage. America, for all intents and purposes, is dead, has been conquered, is gone. But countries are not like people who die but once. Countries are ideas, and we could rise from the ashes like the mythical phoenix anytime we wanted to. But we have to admit that we have an illegitimate criminal group running the nation. Now, if you just joined us, our big top headline at Infowars.com states Obama executive order paves the way for nationalization of the economy. And of course, as you know, I'm the individual more than anybody that's warned of military takeover of the United States through foreign banks. I told you Europe would be collapsed through derivatives fraud 12, 13 years ago. I've broken down exactly how they would do it, what it would look like, how they would roll it out, because it's in their documents. Now, all the different news outlets that are analyzing this executive order are stating that, oh, yeah, Obama says he can take over all industry, work brigades. Oh, this is terrible. What folks haven't done is actually gone and looked at all the accompanying executive orders and U.S. code and COG that this mentions, because that's where you really find everything. National draft for military, work brigades, everything. Now, does it mean they're going to ever implement all of this? No, but they're trying to. And this is a group who's been caught shipping guns into Mexico to blame it on their political enemies. I mean, that's diabolical. Imagine what else they're up to. Now, I want to hear from active duty military and police, and I'll go to you quickly, and you can make your point, and I'll move to the next person, about this. Because the reason we're covering it today, after probably talking about this, I don't know, more than 1,000 times in the last 17 years on air, is because now it's all starting to move quicker. It's on the same trajectory, but accelerating, and people are finally getting it. But this is bipartisan. This goes back to Eisenhower. Again, under nuclear attack, they put this in place. This is not for nuclear attack. Obama's changing it to say any disaster, any emergency, repeating what Bush did. But he's moving to activate it. And remember, Obama announced we needed a domestic security force just as big, just as strong. Remember that quote? In fact, guys, later I'm going to play the brainwashing clip by the Attorney General one more time. Brainwash folks, you know, against the Second Amendment. Tell people to call and report guns, even if they're illegal. I want to play that clip again. But then we've got it in the computer, but it's Obama calls for national security force. And we'll pull that up. But I want to give the number out for police and military, because, you know, police and military call and they go, yeah, we know we're being trained for this, but it's your job as a citizen to stop it, or it's Congress's job. Yeah, I know that. But historically, it's the police and military saying no in East Germany or in Romania or in Czechoslovakia or in so many other areas that ends up stopping this. I mean, I'm asking you, here's my question. Is there any order you won't follow? I mean, do you realize the Bill of Rights, Constitution, that's why we love America and hang flags outside our doors? That's why we appreciate the military? When the military becomes an instrument to overthrow that, it becomes an anathema. I'm not saying the German military was bad pre-Hitler. Most of them under Hitler didn't even agree with him, but they followed orders. You've got to say no. I mean, do you agree with me? Do you disagree? Are you concerned when they put out an executive order and say, we can suspend Congress? The president runs things under the Department of Defense. We'll have 10 governors that run the country. Toll-free number, 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. But first, I want to play the Attorney General clip one more time. This is from 1995, 17 years ago, when he was Deputy Attorney General. And the memos, there have been lawsuits, FOIAs, they've come out where he's saying, we got to cover up OKC. This is our number one priority. What'd you want to cover up, buddy boy? We know. You ran another false flag, didn't you? Shipping the guns into Mexico. Blaming it on the Second Amendment. I mean, I'm here risking my life to expose these criminals. None of us are safe. I'm not going to be a coward and sit here and hold back what I say. They've got to be brought to justice. But how do you bring the UN to justice for war crimes when they're in charge of that? How do you bring the Attorney General to justice for Fast and Furious when he's in charge of justice? That's what tyranny is, when the bad guys get the high ground. And again, why are they trying to thaw out all these martial law provisions right now? and add cherries on top that were never there of. They can disappear people because they want to be able to tell the Mercs, look, you got a law. Start killing. Make it look like a heart attack. We don't want his body ever found. Make it look like a carjacking. Where are the men? Let's go ahead and go to the Attorney General. Here it is.
We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way. We also want to have a hotline that we will set up and have the number of that hotline that would just go out there, and that would be something that people would have emblazoned in their minds so that when they see a gun or become familiar about the facts of a gun crime, they would call that hotline and pass that information.
Okay, so there you go. And we're going to play the clip of Obama talking about his national domestic security force. On record, your preachers, executives, even over small companies, they're even giving them license to kill. That came out 5 years ago about InfraGuard, where they've got executives ready to take phone calls on people to kill that work for them. You bet they're the president's saying he can kill whoever he wants. They've got wannabe hitmen everywhere. These criminals are so out of control. They're trying to hire local executives and giving them license to kill. 007 type behavior. See, notice they never give that to the police and military because you're actually professional and trained. They create a TSA. They create a brown shirt. They create these goon forces who they can later flush down the toilet when they're done with them. All right, I want to go to your phone calls. Brian in Ohio is a police officer. Lou in Ohio. Just active 2 months ago. Eric in Texas, a police officer. Blaze, Alaska, airborne infantry. Let's go to Brian in Ohio. We'll go to them as they came in. Listening, an Ohio police officer. So, what do you think about all the stuff that's going on?
Well, first of all, I'll say I'm a big fan. I just kind of opened my eyes, woke up about 2 or 3 years ago, and try to listen to you every day, especially when I'm working out or something like that. But, as far as the Eric Holder and the whole brainwashing and weapons thing, I don't know how effective that's going to be. I mean, where I work at, police officers in my department, especially me, I can't say all of them, but most of them love the new carry concealed law we have in Ohio that came about a few years ago, I think.
Yeah, that's got to scare all the bad guys, doesn't it? Cause, I mean, crime rates plunge when you have that.
I think it did. We've had a few instances on the street where people have gotten robbed, and we were able to return fire from their carry concealed weapon. And that does send a message out to the street, especially when it's a lot of young punks out there.
Let me ask you a question. Are the police starting to wake up that secret arrest and things like that is not good?
Well, as far as where I work at, it's a big city in Ohio, and I don't think we've gotten to the point where we've been exposed to anything like that yet. I know I haven't. One of the things I always want to call and talk to you about is, at least from where I work, we don't see ourselves as working for the government. We kind of see ourselves as local crime fighters.
Okay? Well, that's the way it should be. But my point is, the feds are starting to take over, and that's why there's going to be a collision. You got record gun sales. The people say it's because they don't trust the federal government. Most of the police I talk to are awake now. Most of the military is awake. So I don't see how this is going to, basically wash out then when you've got the public waking up and the feds power grabbing.
I understand. Like you said, police officers, waking up, and a lot of them, don't necessarily have to be woken up to a certain extent because, like I said, they're innocent in their own ways of just being crime fighters. They're not out here trying to, protect dignitaries or work for corporations, or they're not trying to, make arrests at protests. We just come to work, we respond to calls that the citizens give us, and we try our best to help people out, and we try our best to get the bad guy. And sometimes we get them, sometimes we don't. And, I like to think of it as we don't do what we do on a day-to-day basis on behalf of the government. We do it on behalf of honest, innocent people.
What do you do when you have these idiots that have never owned a gun and watch sitcoms and they think you're supposed to report somebody who's got a shotgun in a gun case because they're over at their house delivering, say, couches, and then they call the hotline and say, "I'm over here, and this guy's got a shotgun."
Well, that has never happened to me. I could tell you a story. About a month ago, there was a 17-year-old girl that lived in a house with her parents. Of course, she had her own child at 17. She was the biggest brat in the world. She called the police because her father just realized that his wife was cheating on him. And he got angry and was, you know, throwing things around the house, and he made a threat just to them vocally that he's going to kill this guy. Well, he was just angry. We talked to him because we got called over there, because she called the police and said that she wanted him arrested and brought him removed the house, and she wants to confiscate his guns because he's got guns and he made threats to kill somebody and he's dangerous. Well, we showed up, basically laughed in her face and told her that, you know, we can do that and we're not going to do that.
Good, because in a lot of areas they would have taken his guns. Well, God bless you. Good to hear from you. That's what we need to hear. It's this idea of just, you know, go after everybody, and the so-called liberals, as they call themselves, love to use the system against people, and I'm sick of it. Okay, now, again, I'm asking the military and police, though, here. What are you going to do as all this starts unfolding? Because Obama is thawing out nuclear war provisions, but he's saying for economic emergency to nationalize farms, ranches, transportation, water, everything. And even mainline scholars, it's all over the news, are saying this is martial law. Are people concerned about this? Lou in Ohio, active duty just 2 months ago. Go ahead, Lou.
Hey, Alex, love you, brother. I honestly want to thank you. About 2 years into my service in Army Special Operations, I started watching some of your documentaries and started reading a little Jim Mars. And when my ETS day came up, I got out of there as fast as I could. I just want to say that there are two things that I really feel like we need to be doing. One, I know we got some lawyers. You have to know some lawyers on our side, right?
There are quite a few.
Well, let's get the evidence. Let's get the witnesses of this voter fraud. Let's put it in the courts, and let's force them to acknowledge our rights. We can't let this slide. We got all these people behind Ron Paul this year. If we just take this sitting down, how are we going to recover from that?
Well, you're right, and I intend to get into that in the next hour. That was actually next on my list. Video of the election fraud, the fact that he did start winning a bunch of delegates, and they had the police come in and arrest them, and they admitted that it was part of a regular delegate fight and that's how it's normally done. But this time they arrested the Ron Paul supporters and gave the delegates to Mitt Romney. And, of course, you're alluding to that. And there was election fraud in Iowa. There was election fraud in Maine, 100% confirmed in Maine, that Ron Paul won, and they just didn't give it to him. That's what I'm saying. What do you do when they're doing stuff like that?
Well, I think the second thing we need to do is we need to make it clear to the GOP that we're not voting as Republicans. We're not voting for Ron Paul as a Republican. We're voting for Ron Paul. And if he doesn't get it, we're not going to vote for Mitt Romney. So if they steal it from him, they're not going to get their candidate in because his votes are leaving.
I got a whole stack on that, and I promise I'm going to get to that, and it's important. But soon it won't even matter when you've got the federal government activating all these martial law provisions as fast as they can. They're doing that for a reason. They're getting ready for a bigger economic collapse, an Iran war, maybe a big false flag. All I know is danger, danger, Will Robinson. And we've got to make the fact that impeachment proceedings that can lead to the impeachment of Obama have begun in the House. It's not getting any coverage over the fact that he's launching wars. When the president's launching wars without congressional approval, folks, that's martial law. When he's turning off power plants outside of law so his buddies make more money with their plants, that's martial law. When they're federalizing things, that's martial law. Martial law just means doing what you want. Rule of the dictator, rule of the junta. Let's go to Eric in Texas, who is a police officer. Go ahead, Eric. Thank you for holding.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you taking my call. I hope you can hear me okay. I've been kind of under the weather, though.
No, I can hear you.
A couple of things real quick. Number one, I just want to say the establishment is scared of us. okay, or else they wouldn't be pushing this federalized takeover of law enforcement and in general, okay? They want to get us under their thumb.
Yeah, they're criminals. They're criminals. Yeah, and the mafia wants to take over every department and every jury and grand jury in the country so they can really engage in some crime.
Right. But we're not a bunch of dumb gorillas, okay? I can tell you that right now. I'm a police officer. I'm a firearms instructor, tactics instructor. I preach to my guys all the time the message of Oath Keepers, the message of the Constitution. And I can just tell you, when it comes down to those questions that you're asking, you know, will you obey when they tell you to do something illegal, something unconstitutional, there's a whole lot of police officers that are not going to do it. I'm big on preaching this. I'm a lifetime member of Oath Keepers. I wear my Oath Keeper t-shirt with my gun and badge all the time. I wear InfoWars t-shirts with my gun and badge all the time, and I would encourage other officers to do the same, because the citizenry looks at that. I can't tell you how many times people have come up to me and said, man, I love that t-shirt, I love that message. They're looking to police officers and the military too to provide some leadership for them. We live in dark times, but I think if we will get that message out there, you know, taking flyers to the grocery store. I take them with my kids, put up flyers at the grocery store, you know, InfoWars stuff.
We've got to get aggressive and start your own organization.
Absolutely.
But listen, I can hear it in the spirit that you're putting out here is one of truth. As bad as stuff is, folks, we haven't gone down the slide yet. I just got chills. This is the preparation. I mean, these are really bad people that have taken over the federal government. They are the nastiest types you can imagine. We're all in danger, folks. And America knows that. Look at the gun sales. Is that not a positive thing? I'm going to hold you over, but is that not positive?
That is a beautiful thing. I am all about the armed citizenry. I think it's a beautiful thing.
Let me ask you this question. What do you do, though, when they do dirty tricks and blow stuff up and blame it on libertarian conservatives to try to turn the police and military against each other? You know they're not just going to launch this takeover without staging some stuff. I want to ask you about that when we come back. Then we'll go to Joseph, Blaze. And we got Corey. There's so many calls coming in. At 8 after, we've got a famous civil rights activist joining us. Now, look forward to that, because it turns out he was with George Clooney last week. And again, I don't like what's being done to the Christians in Sudan. So it's a complex issue. We'll be discussing that as well. Stay with us. You know, every time I tell stories about stuff that happened to me back when I used to cover urban warfare drills, some of them that were unannounced, I see people saying I'm a liar. It says, if they pulled guns on you, Alex, where is the video? BS as usual. Remember 9/11 says, that's posted in the article, Obama executive order paves the way for nationalization of economy. Did you not hear what I said? They took our camera and erased the tape. That's why Mike Hansen said, I'm not giving you my camera. That's why there's not footage, moron. Ask Mike Hansen. And point is, we've got footage in Hebron, Maryland of them coming up to the camera guy with their guns, the Marines, and saying, turn your camera off. You know, I don't have footage of me in the woods at night in an urban warfare drill. And, it doesn't matter. It's just crazy. It's just crazy how people want to deny what's going on out there. You know what I didn't get confiscated is the San Antonio police chief, who's in Police State 2000 saying Delta Force tried to buy him off to let him, you know, give them control of the city basically to run secret operations. That's how the bags of money. So sorry, it's all there. And footage of the drills that still went ahead even though he said no. Don't try to deny this tyranny's happening. I also saw a comment, another story saying, there's Jones again on the video I shot yesterday at home saying Obama wants a domestic security force. What a liar. Okay, well, FEMA's announced it Friday under SecureCorps in AmeriCorps. You go look at the fine print. It's little domestic spies. But here's Obama in the campaign talking about it. So sick of you people living in denial out there. We have the clip, correct? Well, let's roll it.
We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
All right. Yep, there it is. None of that's going to happen in America, though. Now he's actually doing it. And the NRA says their lobbyist sources have told him. The NRA's pretty milquetoast. And I looked it up. It's true. Obama does plan to attempt an executive order ban of all semi-automatics in the next administration. So enjoy. They're going to come. Going back to the police officer, we're going to go to break for 1 minute, come back with Joseph Blaze and Corey and others. Eric, you heard my question before the break. Are police aware that the system can stage events like in Oklahoma City to try to get a civil war going?
You bet. Let me give you an example of that. Some recent training that I conducted, we had an agent from Homeland Security that came in to quote-unquote observe it, okay? During that training, he told some of my guys, hey, I can hook you guys up with doing some undercover stuff for us. If you want to come out to the local airport, we'll give you some simulated explosives, and you can take through the metal detector to see if they can detect it or not. Well, I talked to my guys about that. I was like, how many of you think that that's a really good idea? And none of them did.
I have actual cases where they try to set police up to do that, to create lack of trust with local police that you're terrorist. That actually happened in Phoenix last year.
That's exactly right. I'm telling you, we're not stupid gorillas. And people aren't understanding that. The people in the federal government are not understanding that. That's why they fear us. They know that we are waking up. They know that we're standing on the principles of that Constitution, and that is the absolute moral high ground, and they can't stand that. Darkness cannot stand light, and we're standing on that light, Alex.
You know, I found that Fast and Furious really woke a lot of police up. Have you seen that?
Yes. That makes me sick to my stomach to think that weapons shipped by the federal government are being used against fellow police officers. And it's just a matter of time before that filters all the way into the inner parts of the United States as these gangs bring
it. It's already happening. God bless you. Wow. All right. More calls straight ahead. The police are waking up.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Folks, Iran and the Mideast nuclear mess is already ballooning our gas prices. Whether you're struggling with food costs, which are being blown up by gas costs now, or know that when the Mideast showdown explodes, whatever food supply you have is all you'll get because of huge panic demand, eFoods Direct Family Packs are the answer. Now, the most affordable, best food is saving you up to 50% compared to other poor quality food companies. The new Alex Jones Quick Fix Family Pack save you so much money, the savings from eating this food will actually help you pay your other bills. No matter what effect the Mideast crisis or the crashing economy have, you'll have food as delicious tonight as 25 years from now. Order now for 50% savings and free shipping on these affordable family packs. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex. Call 800-409-5633 or efoodsdirect.com/Alex.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, I want to try to jam in Joseph and Blaze's calls right now. Navy and Airborne Infantry, and then we've got a guest popping in. We'll get to more of that Ron Paul news as well. Right now, let's talk to Joseph in Oklahoma, who's Navy. What's your take on Obama putting in forced labor, nationalization of the economy, confiscation of property, martial law systems? What do you think of that?
That's what I think of that.
I hear you.
It's fascism, communists, and capitalism making into one. And I don't agree with it. I'm an oath keeper. Love the movies, Alex Jones, Endgame, Obama Deception, 9/11 Missing Links, three great movies I recommend, and Jim Marr's book, Rule by Secrecy, great book for anybody, first-time listeners. I'm a retired Navy representative, and it's looking like we are on 9/11 Road to Tyranny. That's another movie I recommend everybody. We're in tyranny. Martial law is here. National Defensive Authorization Act has been signed, and there is no due process. And I just want everybody to remember that we still have the 25th Amendment to impeach the president if he appears insane. And Coney 2012 was a psyop. Good call on that. And that's my take on that, Alex. And I appreciate the great work. I just, I'm awakened, and my eyes are open.
Well, that's beautiful, my friend. And just keep it up out there. I'm going to move quick to even more people here. I know the military's waking up. 70%+ of all the donations were to Ron Paul, but now it's just open fraud from every major state. I mean, it's just incredible. Let's talk to Airborne Infantryman Blaze in Alaska. You're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Good morning. A lot of soldiers are waking up. When I was in Afghanistan, I'd see them spraying chemtrails every day. And I'd always talk to my soldiers and say, hey, you know what they're doing, right? And I was called crazy. I was called, you know, a lunatic. And then as soon as we got back from deployment up here, and I'm stationed up in Alaska, I'd point it out to them that, right here. But look, it's going on right here. A lot of them are waking up to what's going on and how they're spraying in all NATO countries. We swore an oath to the Constitution, the United States Constitution, and not the United Nations. So what people need to realize is a total takeover. The United Nations is directing our military now.
Publicly, do they tell Congress? And now Obama says, I'll take over the entire economy without Congress. I mean, he's not announcing all this for nothing.
Exactly, and the Secretary of Defense, Pineda, basically told our Congress to bow down to him in the UN. We'll go get permission from the United Nations, and then we'll inform Congress what we're going to do. And I didn't even hear about that from any mainstream news media, because they're all controlled. Now, Hillary Clinton also went to the UN and did the Small Arms Treaty, where they basically they're saying that the real weapon of mass destruction now in their eyes is the small arm.
No, Unadir, Hillary says, we'll adopt your treaty, total abolition of civilian ownership of firearms. That's in the treaty. The words, total abolition of civilian ownership of small arms.
Exactly, and that's what they're going to try to do if he gets reelected. Also, look at Australia and England. They're totally pacified now. In Australia, when they turn their guns in, you know, you see videos of them chopping up with a chop saw all the guns, and all the civilians down there are saying, you know, crime's just gotten worse. It's just like any city that has a ban on guns, any country has a ban on guns. Crime's going to skyrocket because criminals don't turn their guns in.
Well, the good news is you said the military's waking up. We're out of time. We've got a guest coming up, and we'll continue with the Corey in Connecticut and others that are holding as well. Stay with us. This is very important, the information coming up. Please spread the word.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. That's 12 noon to 3 p.m. Eastern. We're here live. We have InfoWars Nightly News every evening, 7 o'clock Central. The websites are prisonplanet.tv and InfoWars.com. I've got a bunch of news we haven't gotten to yet. I'm going to be bringing up those items with Dick Gregory, who doesn't need any introduction, an iconic civil rights activist, of course, comedian. He was on the front line of the 60s during the civil rights era and has been fighting for freedom ever since then. Gregory has been arrested for civil disobedience several times and has him to run for mayor of Chicago in 66 and for president in 68 in the early 70s. Gregory abandoned comedy to focus on his political interests, which widened from race relations to include such issues as violence, world hunger, capital punishment, drug abuse, poor health care. He was recently arrested with George Clooney outside the Sudanese embassy. So I respect Dick Gregory and know he's a really great guy who does care about freedom and has a lot of courage. He's been on this show before. He's talked about 9/11, you name it. Now, I'm going to be honest, though, Dick, as for George Clooney, I want to believe that he means well, but the State Department people who are using him to push for a war in Sudan and other areas, I don't see that. Just to preface this here, so you know where I'm coming from, I don't see that as the West wanting to go in there to actually stop some of the brutal leaders who are abusing and killing Christians. I've been talking about that for a decade.
Sure.
I see it as a pretext, just like Iraq. We just saw Libya. That was a total pretext, you know, to go in there and take over. And now there's ethnic cleansing of the black Libyans by some of the Arabs. I mean, it's definitely worse than it was. I'm not saying Gaddafi was perfect, but he was building up all of Africa. And so when I see the State Department that supported that behind Darfur and you know, Sudan and all of this, it just... I just find it suspicious. Now, you're there getting arrested, and I respect that. So tell us, out of the gates, why you know, you're supporting what's going on there.
I'm supporting what's going on there. Let me just back up for a minute. One of the most brutal lynchings in modern times, mainly because of the fastness of the news and television, was when James Byrd was lynched and dismangled by three white men in Texas. And because of the fastness and the conscience of people, they arrested the three whites that did it before they identified who the black man was. One of them was sentenced to a long sentence. The other two were sentenced to death. I'm against the death penalty. I was there with a group of people when they killed the first one about 4 months ago. In Huntsville, Texas, I stood outside of there with a prayer vigil and said, you know, killing by the state is wrong. You give me life in jail, and that's punishment. When you give me death, that's revenge. And so I don't draw the line or worry. Truth don't never have to be validated by ignorance. And the people who contacted me and didn't understand, I don't do things according to your understanding. Killing is wrong by the state. Now, I say that to preference why I went to jail the other day. The rainy season is coming, and there'll be like 300,000 to 600,000 people that will starve to death. That's what I was there for, and I would be there for anybody. Starvation. I was with Bobby Sands. I went there when Bobby Sands was starving himself to death in the jail. I go wherever there seemed to be injustices with women and children and talking about eating. I'm not into their politics. A whole lot of people can be in the politics and still feed people. I mean, here in America, they talking about 30 million meals a day in schools. And we got politicians here that say, wait a minute, ketchup is a vegetable, pizza is good nutrition, and French fries. My act was, if you go to visit your mother and father and your friends on Thanksgiving and they give you ketchup, pizza, and French fries, you know how they feel about you. And the fact that we would do that to children, I believe Hitler would do it to Jews, but I don't believe Hitler would have put that crap in the schools for Germans. So when you look around at a filthy system, that stuff has been going on over and over and over and over again. I never thought I would see the day that I could say I'd rather be killed by someone than kill someone. That's what the Civil Rights Movement did to me. That's where it changed me. John Wayne was my hero, man. I'm 80 years old. We didn't have no television when I was a little boy. And John Wayne said, if you're right and they're wrong, kill them. And then Dr. King came around and said, no, killing is not right. It's about love. And then I look at the outcome. It is about love, not love, but can you be lovable? And so if someone had captured brutal people and said they was going to starve them to death, I'd be on the front line and said, no. This is, there's other ways of dealing out justice, and starving people to death is not one of them. That's why I was there, and that's why I was in jail.
Well, let me just be clear. I only brought this up out of the gates because I had noticed that you'd been on the list of arrested people. And I know that you always get behind causes that you believe are good and just. And so I respect you. And I had just been talking last week about Angelina Jolie, who went to the border of Libya there in Tunisia last October and called over and over again for invasion and bombing. And I know that was about destabilizing Africa. So I got very, very angry with her. The UN's constantly caught doing evil things. I understand they talk about a bunch of good stuff they want to do, and then good people like yourself and others give them money, give them time, give them energy. And I saw George Clooney go up there and talk about how, you know, folks are flying over there in Sudan and then dropping bombs on the Christians. And I don't like that. But then I think, okay, George, well, what about our government with drones in 14 countries dropping bombs and saying it's okay to kill 200 people at a wedding as long as you kill one guy you claim was bad? My whole point is, when I see Fox News with George Clooney on and Fox News is saying, yeah, this is good, let's go in there, I'm like, wait a minute. All I know is this war machine that's run by these big foreign banks, they'll use people's concern about something wrong that's going on, but then actually double-cross everybody. I mean, take Joseph Kony. Hadn't been seen in all these years.
Sure.
And now we're hearing, oh, we got to go into there. What about the leader of that country that's been connected? I mean, all I'm saying is I've learned that when they tell me we got to attack this country because of WMDs or we got to go into Sudan because the Muslims are killing the Christians, I know they are. I don't like it. But at the same time, I don't see our government wanting to go in there to actually help people. It's always to get the natural resources. I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
But look, let me tell you something. You know things that most folks don't know. There's a whole lot of people that get involved, emotional and humanitarian, that don't know the black. I've been knowing Gaddafi been CIA since he was 15 years old. My grandmother don't know that. I'm one of the people believe, if I'm stupid enough to believe Gaddafi is dead yet, please, then my mother was Jesus, okay? But this is what you learn from research. This is what you learn from putting, you know, you make the show look easy. But let me tell you something, I bump into people that swear by you because they know when I take it from here, I don't have to worry about the New York Times and the Washington Post. But you worked hard to do that. You worked hard to check and recheck. There's a whole lot of people that don't know. My mother, if she was alive today, she didn't know the King James Version of the Bible. She died for that. She didn't know King James was King of England. She didn't know King James was such a weird, strange homosexual. He hated women so bad he killed his mother. And his lover was Lord Buckingham, who Buckingham Palace is named after. She didn't know that. If my mother walked in your studio today, you think God spit her out. That's how precious and kind and sweet. But if you tried to convince my mother that Jesus Christ wasn't a Christian, she'd stomp you to death. But she didn't know Christianity never happened till 100 years after Jesus was dead. So you have a whole lot of people out here that don't have proper information, including my mother if she was alive. And so somewhere when you sit and look at those of us that have the information, in a few weeks, we'll be celebrating the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King on April 4th. Now, you know this, but there's a whole lot of people that's not aware when you see that famous picture, King's laying on the ground, and all of these people's pointing up. Now, come on now. If a shot is fired and I'm on a balcony, we all going to hit the ground. Now, nobody's going to get, how'd they know it wasn't going to be a second shot? And here's Dr. King laying on the ground, and nobody was saying, are you all right? But we see this, and we've been out there dealing with it for years. I'm the one that released the picture with Ron Brown, the Secretary of Commerce, with the bullet in the back of his head, and they couldn't deny it because
the coroner.
The ones brought the picture to me, so they couldn't deny it. But you think the New York Times, Washington Post would run it? Not until I went to jail. Not until I went to jail on Christmas Eve did that story run.
Wow, you know, we should talk about that. Absolutely. I just raised the whole point. So you think George Clooney really means well then?
Wait. I'm not getting into that. That's like somebody asking me, you think Dick Gregory mean well when he's standing there with this white Klansman that's fixing to get the lecture? I'm not getting into that.
No, the only reason I ask you is I was getting ready to do a whole video on George Clooney, and I'm really trying to find out whether I should go after him or not. Not for even getting arrested there, but for pushing for military intervention. I do think we should help the people of southern Sudan. It's just that I just don't see... It's like the death penalty. We're going to break, but I want to come back and talk about this with you and get into Ron Brown, get into MLK, RFK, JFK, whatever you want to get into, because you're so well informed on it. All I'm trying to say is that it's like the death penalty. I believe somebody that murders a child, some serial killer, I want him to die. But I can't trust this corrupt government to carry out the execution, because that's an even greater danger. Dick Gregory's our guest. We'll be right back with him on the other side of this quick break. You want about Dick Gregory, but he really is an iconic figure. He was part of Wounded Knee while they were shooting the place up, from what I was reading. Thousands of rounds of ammo poured in there. He went in there to be peacefully stand with those that were under attack. I mean, he's been everywhere and done everything. They've got that Johnny Cash song, "I've Been Everywhere, Man." We got interrupted by the break, moving away from Clooney and Darfur and Sudan and, you know, that whole nightmare situation over there. Expanding on what you were trying to talk about with the Commerce Secretary. I remember it was you that forced it out because the coroners had leaked it. He'd been shot in the head. And, of course, then they guided the plane in. And tell folks about that story. I mean, because there's so many other things you've witnessed. And then I want to ask you about President Obama.
Here's one of the things that when the coroners brought it to me, well, I was really touched. And here's the reason why. It was seven folks, one woman, might have been two women, five males. One of the males was up to move and to being a general. After that, all of that stopped. I had seven white folks came to me about a black man who had been murdered, and there was no plane wreck. And I had to ask myself, if you, Dick Gregory, was ready to be elevated to a general in the United States military, and no, God knows how far you could go. If a white guy had a bullet in the back of his head, you know, would you get involved? Would you get involved with this at the expense of your family? They did, man. This is, my life had moved me into situations where I've been able to see things and then have to question, God, man, how do this? When I'm with Clooney the other day in jail, I'm thinking that's the first time he's ever been to jail. Now, his program while we were there was talking about we got a short window. We had a meeting in the jail. And I said, man, a bell didn't ring inside of me. If you got X amount of weeks before these people, and I said, look, let me tell you. I'm gonna eat nothing but liquids until they move that blockade. I'm not interested in the war. I'm interested in all wars. Right now, look, if I fall out the 18th floor window and I come to your hospital and your doctors and teams are around and I got a broken ankle, a fractured skull, I got cracked ribs, I got all kinds of stuff, and my heart stops, huh? Everybody got to stop doing what they're doing to work on my heart. That's why I look at this problem over there. I know what this country's doing. I know, see, most black folks think white supremacy is the Ku Klux Klan. The Ku Klux Klan don't determine public policy. Most white folks don't even understand what white supremacy is. That's why when all these folks say, I saw UFOs, we were shooting at them, I'm the Air Force, can't nobody admit it. Why? Because once you admit that white supremacy goes out the window, organized religion go out the window, and then we become earthlings. We would be earth people. And there's nothing in my grandma's head that could commit her to believe there could be a Baptist on Mars. So when you sit and look at where this is going and how much information is out here that's been tricked and twisted and all of that, let me tell you, I know stuff about that Kennedy shooting. And if you ever
hear me or read anything I say, I'm one of the few people that don't say when he was assassinated. But there's certain things you don't say because you would discredit yourself. I see horror stories out here. When I was in New York on September the 10th and the 11th, because the head of the ACLU for 20 years had been fighting police brutality cases. And now he's running for public something, I'll think of in a minute. And so a woman called me, a black woman, and she said, look, this white brother here in the last 20 years have cost the New York City about $4 to $5 billion winning and selling police brutality cases. And he's running for a public advocate. And what would it cost for you to come in and campaign for him? And said, I'm the one that won it. And I said, no, I know him. I'll do it for free. And here's the conditions. On the 10th, 01, I come in. We hold a press conference. And on the 11th, give me a team to go into the black community and tell black folks who this man is and take him to the polls. And I called my wife that night. Said, babe, where you got me sleeping tonight? I live in Massachusetts. She said, you're not. A friend of yours called and said, don't spend the night in New York tonight.
Whoa, stay there. We got to come back. Got a call. Get out of New York. We'll be right back. Amazing. Dick Gregory. We're going to get into President Obama and what Dick Gregory thinks of the work he's been doing here in just a moment. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Alex Jones. The websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Notice here in Dick's bio, there's really no websites to plug, but I should ask him. I know he's just out there promoting peace and, you know, his view of the world. Love him or hate him, you've got to admit the guy's consistent and certainly an open mind and a great comedian in his own right. And he's a living history book. He's seen so much. Mr. Gregory, you were getting into the fact that a friend called because you're asking, hey, where am I sleeping in New York? And folks just joined us. In your own words, recap that and continue.
Well, I called my wife the night of the 10th. And I said, hey, dear, well, you got me sleeping tonight. She handles all my hotel, train. She said, you're not. Your friend called me and told me the name. He said, don't tell you don't spend the night in New York tonight. So I trust him. I know who he is. I know what level of consciousness. So I go to the train station and get me a train. I'll come into Washington, D.C. And midnight. I get here at 4 in the morning, and I can't wait to get off the plane, the train, to call this friend of mine. So I called him. And there's nothing you can say on the phone. I said, how'd you know I was in New York? He said, we picked you up on the satellite, brother. So I don't know what was going to happen. Many of us been knowing about blowing up the World Trade Building. I didn't know the date. There were some people that knew that. I didn't know the date. It's called Operation Binko. That's how long we knew about it when we busted some folks in the Philippines and found it in their hard drive. So all this old stuff, da-da-da and all that, that's the game that they played.
Yeah, Bojinko.
Yeah, and so consequently, I go home, and I call some folks from my apartment. I said, man, I wasn't planning on being here in D.C., and in D.C. we walk every morning at like 5 o'clock. So I said, so sit back an hour, and I'll meet you in the park. And so when I get back home, my wife and one of my children had called me and told me a plane had hit the World Trade Building. I'm thinking it's like a pot, one of them Piper Cubs like we throw in King Kong, right? And so while I'm getting dressed to meet them for a talk about a demonstration at the Capitol, I see the other plane hit the building. I said, oh. So now I call my friend who tipped me off, and I said, wow, and all he said is, you owe me one. You don't talk on the phone, right? And so now I start watching everything. Now I shut down. I called Lil and said, I'm out of circulation. I called a couple of researchers, said, put on every TV you got in your house and watch it, watch it, watch it, watch it. And then so all at once now, the second plane hit. Now I'm going to ask you a question, those of you that's listening. If you work for NBC or CBS or ABC, and you was the one that captured that picture of that second building being hit, you'd have a Nobel, you'd have a Pulitzer Prize, you'd make $40,000 a speech, and your name would be world-renowned. How come we don't know the person that took that picture? It's just simple deduction. How come we don't know the person that took that picture? Now I'm looking, and I know what to look for. I know when the stuff hit, you're dealing with people's emotion. You can put all kind of stuff down. Then you get the Pentagon. Okay, it got hit, right? Well, now let's look. The Pentagon, that plane came in 6 feet off the ground. How you going to have a plane doing 6 feet off the ground doing 450 miles an hour? That's impossible. You can't do that. But let's say it did. Now, if you know where the Pentagon is, and you move out from the Pentagon, you got the highway, and you keep moving, you got Arlington Cemetery. And all of a plane to hit the Pentagon is 6 feet off the ground, it had to come through Arlington Cemetery. There's not one tree or lamppost knocked down in Arlington Cemetery. Now, one of the tricks they'll do is right after something happened, you got a cab driver say, yeah, I saw it come in, and I was scared. You don't know if that's an agent or not. You don't know who that is. They've already got people playing on what they're going to say. You think they're just some order. And one of the things that's going to bring this country down to its knees is a handful of cops. I'm not talking about these ones we see in the street that know that homicide when they call it suicide and all that. They know it. And the news media knows it. I'm not talking about these reporters. I'm talking about the news media that put the trick down and feel this out and say so-and-so saw this. They don't want their name done. And so when you sit and you look at that whole Pentagon, now here's another thing. There was five buildings zero to be hit, five places. The World Trade Building, the White House, the Pentagon, the Sears Tower, and the big bank out there in San Francisco. Now, here's something that's interesting. Now, if nobody knew this, then why is it that nobody evacuated Baltimore? I mean, you're going to hit the Pentagon and supposed to hit the White House and all the government activity that go on in Baltimore and all the way up the 95th corridor. You got the space headquarters and all of that. Nobody evacuated that. Nobody evacuated Pennsylvania, Philadelphia. How'd you know? I mean, how did you know it was just going to be those? And then when you go back into Chicago, they evacuated the Sears Tower. We knew that was on one of the zeros. Right down the street is the Standard Oil building. It was just a couple of stories shorter. Then how come nobody evacuated that?
Because they knew what the targets were.
They knew what the targets were. And so I'm saying, when you sit, and you know, my poor mother and grandma, if they was alive, they'd be duped into it, too. And so when you have that kind of hardcore, now, for those of you all that's listening, let me tell you what you need to do. On September the 11th, now, in America, we don't list state by the number, the month. We say September, Halloween, October 31st. Why they use a number for that one? Because it's 911, and any time you don't say September 11th and you say 911, it tells the brain to be scared, okay?
That's right.
For instance, if any of you all listening walked into your house this evening and someone was on the phone, your mother, your father, your wife, your children, and you said, who are you talking to? I just dialed 911. What kind of look comes over your face?
Listen, when I see 911 on a clock now, I see it as an ill omen. They did it as they even picked a number to program everybody. The passports magically survived. Hijackers trained at U.S. bases. But I got to go back here because I hadn't heard you talk in this much detail about what you just discussed. Dick Gregory, a civil rights icon, is our guest if you just tuned in. But there is something of what you speak on record. Mayor Willie Brown.
Yeah, wait, hold on.
He admitted that warned.
No, wait. Let me handle that, would you?
All right.
That's what I was getting ready to tell your listeners. Pull up the San Francisco Chronicle on September the 12th, the next day. September the 12th. And that's where they had a front page story where Willie Brown had been told by his bodyguard not to take his flight into New York City that Tuesday. Now, I don't have no problem with that. I got a problem with this. When a reputable newspaper, as far as newspapers are concerned, not one other newspaper ran that story, huh?
It slipped through that he was told don't fly September 10th on September 11th, and the reported person that told the bodyguards that made the call was Condoleezza Rice.
Hey, we all knew that, huh?
Wow, well, right there, don't fly to New York, but they didn't know anything about the attacks.
But no, that don't bother me. What bothers me is who told the New York Times? They print stories out of papers. I got mad if a pimp walk up there. If the San Francisco Chronicle report a pimp shot 5 prostitutes to death and beat their mothers to death, that story would run all over the world.
Okay? Yes.
Now, how come not one newspaper ran that story, okay? Now, go back to that Friday, which was Tuesday was the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. The Friday, San Francisco Chronicle, the ex-Secretary of State, George Shultz, said he knew 7 days before.
That's right.
The front page story, okay? So we're not talking about a mayor. The one we're talking about, the ex-Secretary of State.
And as you know, Dick, he's a major kingmaker, at some levels, some believe even higher up than even Kissinger, that actually calling the shots. I mean, he's a guy who knows where all the bodies are buried. And then there was also what an Associated Press blurb that the Joint Chiefs of Staff canceled flights to New York for September 11th. Yep. I mean, so they all knew, and these are real articles. Colonel Stephen Butler was told, said that they trained some of the people on the hijacker list at their base. He said the government was behind it, and they started the move to court-martial him until he shut up.
Sure.
So we'd be crazy. 9/11, the government was absolutely conscious and let it happen, bare minimum.
Well, you know, here's what they'll do. They'll come out 50 years from now and admit certain things, and then people overlooked it and this and that. But now let me just show you something else. I had a friend of mine, and I said, do me a favor. I want you to look at all the flights on a 5-day period, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Look at it for 2 years. All your major flights coming out of Hartford, Connecticut, going to the West Coast. Coming out of Boston Airport, going to the West Coast. Coming out of Kennedy, going to the West Coast. Coming out of Philadelphia, direct nonstop flights. Coming out of Washington, D.C., Dulles, going to the West Coast. And here's what we found out. We found out that on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, that if you wanted to book a first class from any of those airports going to the West Coast, because you gained 3 hours, you gained a whole business day, you have to book about a month in advance to get first class, about 3 days in advance to get a seat on coach. That's every one of them flights. That day, all of those flights from Boston going to San Francisco, going to L.A., from Philly Airport, from Kennedy, from Washington, D.C., all of those flights was about 34% full.
Yes.
Okay? So I'm saying when you sit... And
they all got tipped off. That's why there were kids locally saying those towers won't be there next week.
Yeah.
I mean, this was everywhere. And then there was that weird base in... it was up in Nebraska where hundreds of CEOs had been told come to a special meeting a week before, and then they closed the hangar and showed them some video, and they all came out, freaked out, and Warren Buffett was running it. I mean, you're talking about weirdness.
Well, I very seldom somebody would tell you something that you don't know, but if you don't know this, look in this and tell your folks, those little training, where those Arabs were supposed to have gone taking their training in Florida.
Yes.
Those schools is owned by Warren Buffett. Did you hear me?
No, I didn't.
All right.
I mean, I heard you. I didn't know that.
Okay. That was owned by Warren Buffett, right? Now, let me just tell you something very interesting. Do you remember Martha Mitchell?
Yes.
She was kidnapped, right?
Yes.
And then a week later, she died from some kind of strange cancer, right?
Yes.
Now, anytime you can kidnap the Attorney General's wife, huh, of the United States, when you become the Attorney General of the United States, you're the number one cop in the world because America is the number one mightiest power on the planet, okay? Now, when you can kidnap the Attorney General's wife of the United States, and as we talk right now, brother, nobody's ever been arrested for that kidnap, huh? Did you hear me?
No, you're right.
Okay, now, why was she kidnapped? Because she heard her husband and a bunch of the old white boys sitting around in their living room with their cognac talking about when the World Trade Building was going to be blown up. She was outraged. She wasn't in the room. This was the white boy meeting. And she got on him and said, well, I'm going to tell the world on Monday. I hold a press conference. She was kidnapped, man. Shot her in the butt with a cancer shot, and she died, and we keep paying our rent, and we keep doing this and looking at all this old crazy kind of stuff and don't know what's really going on. And so, consequently, when you sit and look, now, while I was watching this, the people start getting tired, and they start making mistakes. Now, ask you a question now. If that building has, 54,000 people who work there in the World Trade, and by evening there's over 120,000 people in the building, people coming there for business, coming for
yes,
for to view and all that. Now, around the corner, a block and a half around the corner, is Fire Station 7, something like that. They go there every day, year round. A minimum of 50 times, maximum of 75. Why? Because if your smoke detector blow out, you can get a fuse and put in it. But because of the insurance on a building like that, the amount of people that's in there, you can't do that. You have to call the fire department, and they'll send someone there. You get a bill for it to put that fuse in and then clear that it's working. Okay? So I'm going to say this again. That fire station, a block and a half company, go there a minimum of 50 times every day, a maximum of 75. On September the 11th, there was 343 firefighters killed. That's not counting the ones that was injured. That's not counting the cops. Just firefighters. Not one firefighter was killed and injured from number 7, a block and a half. Okay? A block and a half from the World Trade Building. Not one of those firefighters was injured or killed. Did somebody know something? I mean, firefighters came from all over the city, and many of them died or was injured right around the corner? Nothing. And so when you sit and you think about, you know, how it works and how many... So I'm watching it. I'm looking at it because I know what they do. I'm looking at it, and I'm looking at it, and then they start getting tired. And then I heard CNN interview a guy, and he says, "Said where were you when this happened?" This was a day later. He said, "Well, I was I'm going to school to be a first responder, and I got about 6 months, and then I heard this awful noise, and I started running towards it, and I open up this door, and I go in there, and there's about 100 FBI and Homeland Security people there." What do you mean? Said, I wondered how they got there that quick. 2 days later, they was interviewing one of the guys from Homeland Security, and I guess he was just tired. He said, yeah, we sent a team in here 2 days before it happened so we could be in place.
Yeah, that was Kennedy. And then he said, that was a mistake. And later it was confirmed the whole drill that was used to cover up wiring the buildings was called Tripod 2. And they'd already moved out of all the buildings, their own offices, to run the drill from the end of the pier, blowing it all up.
We don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Well, unfortunately, we're almost out of time, and it was all this news I wanted to go over with Dick Gregory, but the time has gone so fast, and I promise you, it won't be 2 years till the next time he's back on. In fact, I hope to get him on regularly because he's such an interesting person. I've got to bring it up or folks will get mad because we've had the phone lines filling up saying, ask him about Obama. What does he think about Obama? What is your view? And I understand at the end of the day, I see it as positive that, you know, America could elect a black president just because it shows some unity. But I see the system is doing it as a way to actually drive wedges in the final equation. And he's signing in martial law provisions, NDAA. All of this is happening. And he's able to do things Bush could never get away with because of the left cover. In the final equation, what do you think's going on with Barack Obama, Dick Gregory?
Well, I'll put it this way. I was one of the ones that was thrilled while he got elected. I just said, wow, it's going to run so many people crazy. And we saw that happen on inauguration day when you have one of the most powerful men in the world, the Supreme Court, the Chief Justice. He, all he got to do is read two sentences and looked up and saw that black face and messed up. now, nobody, we jump on a redneck for doing something, but when somebody with his power would do it, we kind of ignore it and say, blah, blah, blah. And so I'm so glad because it might, with all of the other stuff, I mean, am I living in a country where they're telling me it is easier for a black person to be elected president than to be a senator? Are you telling me I got a black president, but I don't have a black senator? You know, so it's a whole lot of stuff hooked around that. I was hoping that Herman Cain would have won the nomination for the Republicans, and then America would have two black men to pick from. One that they say is a genius, and the other one they made him come off looking like buckwheat. You know, but let me tell you something about Herman Cain. I've been telling people for 2 years, watch a black man named Herman Cain, one of the brilliant minds on the planet. And people laugh when they saw the script they wrote for him. But let me tell you who human Herman Cain is. Herman Cain was chairman of the Kansas City Federal Reserve. I know you knew that, right?
Yes.
Did you know that out of the 12 Federal Reserves in America, Kansas City was the first one? Did you know that?
Well, yes, and I also know it's very, very powerful.
And also, when you go to the and see the movie or the play, The Wizard of Oz, do you know Oz? Do you know that's about the Kansas City Federal Reserve?
Yes, sir, I did know that.
Okay, that's how vicious they were, the wicked, wicked. And so we got to ask yourself, well, who is Herman Cain? And so when I sit and I look at what's going on and what's happening, my grandmother, you understand? See, what I have to be careful of is the way people treat celebrities. There's a whole lot of celebrities. You had a white boy that left his wife in the car, Beretta, and went back in to get his gun and came back and she was dead and nobody's asked him, why you carrying a gun? What, you took it in the restaurant? Did you check it or did you take it? Is it normal to go in the restaurant, eat, take your gun, sit in a chair? Celebrity status. And when you look at Obama, he's a celebrity to a lot of young folks and to a lot of black folks. And they let celebrities, you don't have to ask many things. Look at Tiger Woods. He was a celebrity to black folks in a white, racist, sexist system. I live in a country where white boys, all they had to do was call a white woman a witch and they could burn her at the stake. And we have never washed this filth off. So when you get somebody come down the line that looks the look and talks the talk, and as a celebrity, I, as a black person, I know a whole lot of stuff about a whole lot of people I wouldn't dare say on this radio show or no other radio show.
I bet. You know what? Five more minutes of overdrive. This is amazing. Back in 60 seconds, InfoWars.com.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Coming up, Obama executive order paves the way for nationalization of the economy. Right now, Dick Gregory is with us, the tail end of that interview. I really appreciate him coming on, civil rights icon. really interesting perspectives on things. We were just talking during the break, and you were going off into Obama. Please repeat what you were saying, sir.
I was saying, you know, I knew many years before he was elected, we're getting ready for a black president. When you got four movies come out of Hollywood showing black men as presidents, they weren't comedies. And the number one TV show in the land was 24, a black president fascinated by the Secretary of State, so he really better keep his eye on Hillary. Please.
Oh, yeah, Hillary, super bad news. So, I mean, you've had a chance to meet President Obama?
No, I never. Look, if I was invited to the White House today, I wouldn't go, because when you take all the things that I've said that go on in this country, and they would say, well, let me tell you about Dick Gregory. Here's what he's saying. No. He got his own problems.
Let me ask you this, though. If you were standing before Barack Obama, because I know a lot of these presidents are just reading off teleprompters, but he's obviously a very smart guy, but he's following orders. I mean, if I was in front of Obama, I'd say, I understand that you're blackmailed, all these things, but you should really back up, you know, back off all this corruption. I mean, what would you say to Obama if you had 2 minutes to talk to him?
If I had 2 minutes to talk to him, I'd say, one, I'm so glad you was president of the United States, because I have to apologize to all white folks, because before you became president, I was convinced that all black folks look alike to white folks. Now that you're the president, I haven't had one white person walk up to me and say, excuse me, Mr. President. So I know we don't all look alike. The other thing I'd ask him, I said, man, I'm having a financial problem. Would you be my co-signer?
Hmm?
Can you talk to the people in China and see if they would, you know, slip me a little loan like they slip y'all? That's all I'd say to him. He don't have no control over what's going on. No president has control. You know that. They don't have no control over what's going on. When Kennedy thought they had control, they had a bullet waiting for him. When Bobby thought, I'm going to get in and find out, they had a bullet waiting for him. Let me tell you this story real quick. I'm doing Irv Kupcinet's show in Chicago the first day of June. And no, it was the last of May. And me and Bobby was close friends. And Bobby said to me during the commercial, said, when you going to come to California and help me during the primary? And I said, when you going? He said, tonight. I said, well, give me my dollar. You owe me. And now I don't know, this commercial's off and we back on. And Irv comes, what y'all talking about? I said, he owed me a dollar. And he said he's going to California tonight for the primary. And I'm telling him, nah, if he wins, he'll never leave there alive. Now, about 3 days after Bobby was killed, Irv Kupcinet called me and had the show. He said, Dick, you okay? I said, yeah, what do you mean? Come on, you can be honest with me. I'm your friend. Are you okay? I said, I'm okay. What do you mean? He said, Bobby, what do you mean? He said, well, the FBI came in here and ransacked my office and got that tape where you were saying what you were saying. And I said, no, they wouldn't dare come by my house. So that's the life I lived, man.
Wow. You know what? I've got to get you back on the show soon just to talk about the history you've witnessed. So the FBI wanted the tape of that radio broadcast where you were able to predict that they were going to kill him.
So I can tell you, but I can never show you the piece of tape, right?
Wow.
That's the whole game. The FBI, see, Hoover thought he was in charge. They killed Hoover. Man, they found Hoover sitting on the toilet trying to get that poison out of him. And then ransacked his whole thing. He thought he had some power, and he didn't realize there's a group bigger than him. There's a group bigger than Queen Elizabeth. I don't have to tell you. You know, London is not part of Britain. You know that.
The city of London within it is the ancient megabanks, and they...
That's right.
They are nasty, nasty.
You know when Queen Elizabeth want to go into London, she got to get permission from the Lord Mayor. You know that, right?
That's right.
And you know if they give her permission, she got to come in dressed as a servant, right?
Yep.
Okay, so we see they got us believing this one thing of it. And let me take this last second to say this to you. There's certain people that's for capital punishment under certain...
Hold on. These breaks are pre-programmed. I want to stay there. This is amazing.